Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. Tonight, I'm going to be talking about salvation, specifically salvation for God's people. And what I just read from Ephesians chapter 1 explains that we, as Christians, are God's people. And tonight, I want each and every one of us here to understand that the means by which God allows his people to have salvation. Now, the first way that God provided salvation was through deliverance. And when we look at that word, deliverance, it means to snatch away. Now, that's a very visual term, snatch away. It's the same idea as rescue or being pulled to freedom or delivered from slavery. So you can picture anyone in a situation where they need to be rescued or pulled to freedom, how snatching away is a great visual for that. Well, God, through a study of the Old Testament, shows many instances where he delivers his people. One such instance that we'll read about tonight is where he delivers the Israelites. And this, from Exodus 3, 7 through 8, is where Moses is at the burning bush. And God starts speaking to him. It says, "Then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians." So what we read about there is that God noticed these afflictions, the cries, the sufferings, and he knew that his people needed salvation through his deliverance. Another way that we look at in the Bible, a way that God provides salvation, is through redemption. When the old law was written, God provided a way for slaves to be redeemed. In Leviticus chapter 25, verses 47 through 49, says, "If a stranger or sojourner with you becomes rich, and your brother beside him becomes poor and sells himself to the stranger or sojourner with you, or to a member of the stranger's clan, then after he is sold, he may be redeemed. One of his brothers may redeem him, or his uncle or his cousin may redeem him, or a close relative from his clan may redeem him, or if he grows rich, he may redeem himself." This redemption under the old law would have required some sort of a payment to be made by one person in exchange for the other person's freedom. Now, we're no longer under that old law. So today, God's chosen people, Christians, not being under that old law, we have a different way of redemption, a different method for redemption. Now, earlier I read Ephesians 4 through 6. If we look down one verse past that, we can see that in beginning there in chapter 7 explains that Christ, it's through Christ that we receive that redemption. It says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ has a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in Him, things in heaven and things on earth. This word, redemption, is really the same word as this word, ransom, meaning to buy back. The more up-to-date definition of this word, Webster's definition of ransom, is money that is paid in order to free someone who has been captured or kidnapped. Jesus told his apostles in Mark 10, verse 45, he came to this earth to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus is a ransom for us as Christians. He is that redemption that we need. He is that way that we can reach salvation. Now, in each of these situations that I talked about, whether it's a slave that needs to be redeemed, possibly someone that has been captured or kidnapped, when we consider each of those situations, the family member of a kidnapped child, the price of payment doesn't matter at that point. The people would get that money. It wouldn't matter how they would get it, fundraise or whatever, but they would get that money because they love that person so much that price doesn't matter. A slave, we know that, you know, over 150 years ago in this country we had slaves, and those people could still be bought back. And if someone bought them back, or if it was in the Old Testament times and they were bought back or redeemed by an uncle or a brother or whoever the family member is, they loved them so much it didn't matter. Price didn't matter. They would do whatever to get that person out of that situation. So we come to Jesus. Price didn't matter. He came to be a ransom for us all. So, what was the price of our salvation? God made a payment. He gave Christ. In John 3:16, we see there, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. He gave Jesus as His payment for our salvation because He loves us so much. Christ's payment was Himself, His life, His death. I noted Matthew 27, verse 34 for a reason. There it talks about they gave Jesus, before His crucifixion, sour wine mixed with gall. This was some sort of a mixture that would have maybe dulled His senses, would have dulled the pain that He was about to undergo. But Christ tasted it and then spit it out, refused to drink it, because He was going to take on the full effect of that death, that crucifixion. But that's not it. There's more to our salvation than just those two great and wonderful things. We have a price to pay as well. And we've heard a lot of good sermons recently on the particular topic of letting our light shine. Our life as a Christian, that's our payment. That's the way that we help to reach our salvation. And we can't do it without what God did for us and what Christ did for us, but we have a part to play as well. Greg has been preaching from Romans chapter 12, but if each one of us takes Romans 12, chapters 12 through 15, and read that, and then live our life by what it says in those chapters, we'll do a really good job at living a good Christian life. Tonight, I want us to consider this one thought. We've been rescued. We've been brought out of slavery to sin. We've been given the opportunity at salvation and freedom. We should want to show our appreciation for that by living a good life, a sin-free life, one that we are doing everything we can to reach heaven.